Well, I want to give a quick message because I know the children want to get downstairs and have hot cross buns. So we welcome you after to come downstairs and have the time together. So, kids, I'll keep it, 2 hours? Sound good? Just kidding. Let's pray. God, it's a somber day. It's not a day of celebration, but it's a day of remembering and of thinking. The joy comes in a couple days. Help us to reflect today on really where we would be if this great event hadn't taken place. Help us to embrace it. Help us to understand it greater. Maybe we've come from different backgrounds. Maybe some people in here have no church background. Maybe people have a long church background, but it's just become a thing that they do. Wherever we are, God, show us again today. Show us freshly what this is all about and why this is so important. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you come today, together today on Good Friday to remember, don't we? This is the last day of Jesus' life. The text I've chosen takes place just after the First Communion in the evening at some point. Jesus would have so much weighing on his mind, I couldn't imagine it. And yet he speaks such profound words. You know, Good Friday, it's a good day for us. It really is a good day for you and I. But it's really a bad day for Jesus. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. John 13:34 says, "A new command I give to you. A new command I give to you, that you would love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." Notice this wasn't a request. It's not a suggestion. It's a command that Jesus Christ gives us personally. That we would love one another not just according to what we feel, but as he has loved us. So we come together on Good Friday, and we ask ourselves, what is the cross? What is this all about? We have crosses all over the place. But for many people that grew up in Christian circles, it's just a symbol, just something that you wear. Maybe you've got earrings on, and maybe it's a shirt. Maybe it's something above your kitchen table. But what is it, really? The cross is the symbol of the extent of the determination of the unbelievable love that God had for humanity. It reminds us that Jesus made up his mind to love us to the end. It was concrete. He wasn't slipping in and out whether he should do this. He made up his mind, and because of that, no one could stop him. And when you and I, if we would make up our minds to love as Jesus would, nobody would be able to stop us either. They could be cruel to us. They could hurt us. They could say all sorts of mean things. They might even throw us in prison. But they couldn't stop us from loving. And Jesus Christ is our example of that on the cross. He's speaking now. He spoke this new command to the very people that he knows are going to betray him, sell him, abandon him, run away from him, reject him, hide from him, allow him to be taken by the very people who are supposed to be honoring him so that they can accuse him and mock him and punch him and make a crown of thorns and dig it into his head and beat him and laugh at him and accuse him falsely of things that he didn't do and then find him guilty and strip him and make him walk through the streets of Jerusalem, dragging a cross with the sins of the world on it. And then be strapped to that cross and have nails, as was custom for Roman execution and crucifixion, driven through his flesh, through his bones, into the wood, and then hoisted up so he could suffocate in the hot sun until he died of a broken heart. That's a tall load. And yet, God never stopped loving us. That's what today is about. He endured all this, yet God never stopped loving us. That's why he commands us now to love one another as he has loved us. His last words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." She's excited about the hot cross buns. And Jesus knows when he's on the cross that everything is hinging on whether these people, these small group of people that I have trained, actually carry out the commands that I've given them. The future of the church, the future of humanity, if they don't do what he has commanded them and instruct them and will give them the power to do, it all falls apart and none of us are sitting right here right now. So there's a lot weighing on this. But he made up his choice. He made up his choice to go to the end and no one could stop him. And if you and I would make up our choice, no one would be able to stop us either. So Good Friday, we come to remember that God didn't die on a cross so that we could become religious. He died on a cross so that we could have new lives and be able to love like he loves. It's called the perfect law of liberty. To be able to choose to love freely is maybe the only thing we're free to do in this world. We think we're free. But at any point, the government could come and take away those freedoms. Mobs of people could take away our houses that they have countless times throughout history. But the one thing nobody can ever take away from you, as they could never take away from Jesus, is the free choice to love. Or you could hate, as Jesus, maybe we, if we were in his place, would have. But he didn't. He didn't. And so loving is easy, isn't it, when people love you back, right? When somebody is loving you and affirming you and supporting you and building you up, well, it's easy to love. But it's not so easy to love when people are mean to you and make fun of you and think you're some sort of weird Jesus freak. Yet, Jesus loved. Jesus loved. And he loved so much that he was willing, right to the end, to show mercy to the very people who were killing him. Is that something we do? Do we offer mercy to those who hurt us, to those who make fun of us? No, if we were to be honest, we want revenge. We want to see payback. And maybe that's the disconnect between what God's idea of love is and what our idea of love it is. Yet Jesus commands to love one another as he has loved us. And so I ask you to ask God, what is my depth of love for people? God, if this is what your standard is, where am I in understanding love? There are different degrees of love that only really manifest themselves through different trials and tribulations. And we see the greatest depth of love being manifested on the cross. There are some degrees of love that you won't really know if you possess until you go through times of suffering. Did you know that, Calvary? I've been a Christian now for 10 years. My understanding of love, sacrificial love, has changed over those 10 years. I used to throw the word around pretty shallowly, pretty trivially, if I was to be honest. But I understand that love is more than our feelings. Love is more than our circumstances. Love is a choice. And I can remember years ago coming to Paul's prayer in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says this to God. He says, I want to know you, Christ. That sounds nice, eh? We want to know Christ. We want to know Jesus. We want to be close to him. Then he says, I want to know the power of your resurrection. Well, that sounds great too, right? We want to know the power over death and victory over death and to know that we'll be with him in heaven forever. That sounds great. Amen. And then he finishes with, and I want to know the fellowship of your sufferings, being conformed to him into his death. That one's not so popular. And when I read this, I knew I could say yes and yes to one and two, but I really thought to myself, I can't say I know what it is to fellowship in your sufferings, Jesus. And I'm not talking about what it is like to take on the sins of the world. That's a suffering that only Jesus could do. But I knew that I did not understand the degree in which Jesus loved, that he would go to that much suffering, go through that for humanity. That was a disconnect between me and him. And so the next question was, do I want to know that kind of love? Do I want to suffer and have such compassion and love for the very people that hate me? Do I want to experience that? That's a whole nother degree of love. And so years went by, and life goes on. And as many of you know, this past year was one of the hardest years for us, as all of a sudden my oldest daughter, after living with me all her life, went to live with her mom, just out of nowhere. Gone Christmas and doesn't come back. And so now the person that I sacrificed for and loved and nurtured and gave myself to for 15 years is gone. And now it's just a phone call maybe once a month. And all it is memories. And so now I'm faced with a question. What do I do? What do I do when the people you love, when the person you love rejects you? And so I went to see a man last fall to seek his counsel, a godly man. And he asked me a question, a particular low time in my life when I felt like giving up, giving in. He said, Ben, has anything good come out of this experience? And I said, nothing. I had nothing really to say. I couldn't see anything good that had come out of this. And then so it was later, a couple hours later, sitting in a parking lot, staring out the front window, when all of a sudden I heard God's voice as I thought on what he had asked me. Yes, something good had come out of it. I understood to a greater degree what it was like for Jesus to love the very people that he would die for, yet to be rejected by them. And all of a sudden, I was no longer feeling sorry for myself, but I was picturing Jesus dragging his cross through the streets as the people mock him and throw stuff at him and call him names and make fun of him. And as he does this, he looks into their eyes and he has this such desire that he wants to draw them close to him. And yet they reject him. They want nothing to do with him. That's what goes on every day for Jesus. Every day, people choose to reject him. Yet every day, he continues to love them and hold out his hand for them. I had a new understanding of the love of Jesus Christ. And so the question is then, what do I do? What do we do when the people we sacrifice for and love turn around and reject us? Do we become hard? Do we close ourselves off and say, fine, I'm not going to love anymore? That's a question I had to wrestle with. And God put it to me. Are you still going to love her? Are you still going to pray for her? Are you still going to call her even though she doesn't return your calls? Will you still do what I have done? Or will you do what the world has done? And so I remembered that I wanted to know the fellowship of his sufferings. And now I was experiencing that. And I said, I don't want to become hard, God. I don't want to allow this to make me angry anymore. And it was like all of a sudden, God opened up a new depth of my character, of my love for humanity. And that's what God wants to do through suffering, through the cross. He wants you to participate in that. Not a superficial love, but a love of depth for this broken and dying world. I began to understand at greater depth the compassion that God has for humanity. That even though it rejects him, he is calling out for it to come to him and be healed and be made whole. A love and a compassion that would make him leave heaven and come down to this earth and give himself as an offering for humanity. A love that loves to the end. And if we would simply embrace that and really understand what this day is all about and say to God, I want to participate in the fellowship of your sufferings. I want to know. I don't want to be a shallow, superficial Christian anymore. Then we would turn this town around. We would turn this nation around. People wouldn't be able to ignore us anymore. Because they don't see that kind of love in this world. It's a self-focused love in this world. I love you as long as you do for me. But the world is waiting and watching to see if we believe what it is we say we believe. So God loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave himself as an offering to rescue the people outside that really have nothing and no experience with Easter. It's just a day off for them, for some of them. The most they know of Easter is Easter eggs and chocolate. But God still gave himself for them. And he still calls us to love them as he has loved us. Through this new experience of joining in the fellowship of his suffering, God has given me ability that I never used to have. When I look into some people's eyes, when I interact with people, when I look into their eyes, I can see the brokenness in their eyes. It's a thing that I can't even explain with words. It's as though I can see their soul crying out from behind their eyes saying, somebody rescue me from this lost and broken existence that I live. It's something that grieves me because I come into contact with them every day. People, broken, lonely, empty, unloved. They're searching for answers. They're scrounging through life looking for some sort of hope. And that hope died on a cross 2,000 years ago. And he didn't die so that we could just become religious. So that we could just dress up and play church. He died so that we could be made new, so that we could love them, even those who are unlovable. This is the purpose of God, to reveal himself to us, but not just to reveal himself to us, but for us to share in his life. That is the Christian life, to share in the great compassion that God has for this world. And then we can get dressed up, we can sing the songs, we can say the prayers, but we can totally miss the point. God is calling out to this world. He's calling out to his church saying, will you go out for me? Will you go to them? will you embrace my sufferings for a broken world? So as we close in prayer, I'm going to ask everyone to just empty your mind of all the things you're thinking about and just close your eyes and bow your heads and just focus on the cross. Just close your eyes and don't think about your person you're sitting with or things you have to do today. Just think about what God went through on that cross. Think about your life. Think about how much He loves you. Think about all the broken people around you. All the people He wants to use you to bring to Him. I'm not a superficial person. I don't want anything to do with superficial religion, empty religion. But as you focus on the Lord, I want to ask you a question and I want to put it to you, confront you with a choice. If you're a Christian, if you say you follow Jesus Christ, will you share in His sufferings? That is the question I put to you. And as I close in prayer, I'm going to just ask you to keep your eyes closed. And if you want to share in that, if you want to have a new depth and a new understanding to the love of Jesus Christ on the cross, I'm going to ask you to just repeat this short prayer along. But you don't have to do it just to feel pressure. You can do it in your mind. You can say it out loud. But don't do it if you're faking it. It's just between you and God. Because there's a price to pay. The price is worth it, but it's still a price to pay. Here's the prayer. Jesus, I want to love others as you have loved me. You have loved me so much that you gave yourself for me. Now I give myself to you. I want to know you, God. The real you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship of your sufferings. I ask with a sincere heart for you to change me and make me more like you. Amen.